Welcome, welcome to the Carman Show. We are excited to be here on our first ever online show. We've been doing a lot of radio shows throughout the country, educating consumers on buying cars, and it has been such a great opportunity to finally do something online. We are going to be answering questions, getting people involved in the show. I see I have somebody from a 936 number. You know, welcome to the show. We are all about helping educate you, the automotive consumer. And the thing that we were talking about on, this is kind of a continuation of the show that we were just talking about with people understanding how to build credit with your car and understanding what these dealerships are telling people that you need to know. And so the thing I wanted to start on is when you're financing a car and you have had some credit problems, the banks typically are not going to – some of the banks don't want to finance cars with more than 50 to 60,000 miles. And then some of the banks will only finance cars for 24, 36, or 48 months. The older the car, the shorter the finance term. So a lot of times people think if they buy a $5,000 car, it's going to be cheaper than if they buy the $20,000 car. Well, if you condense the loan into a shorter period of time, that, you know, that money is going, that payment is going to be sometimes higher, especially when you include the interest rate. So it's important to understand that. The second thing is that when you are financing these cars, a lot of you out here have cars that are 10 years old, and you've been financing a car that is 10 years old, and it's terrible. You need to get out of that. You know, these finance companies or these buy-here-pay-here type places, they are notorious for putting people in cars that are 10 years old. So right now we're in 2016, there are a lot of you out here that are financing cars that are 2006, 2005, 2004, and the value on those cars is practically nothing. The value of those cars is practically nothing. So it's important for you to understand the value of your car, and as you always hear me talk about, you know, I'm all about helping educate people and getting the most for their trade-in. Now, one of the areas that when it comes to financing these secondary car loans that you want to look at is the payments on these secondary car loans. Payments are always going to be a little higher than you anticipate only because the way these finance companies work is they're going to charge you a higher rate based on your situation, regardless of what the situation is. They're going to charge you a higher rate. So let me give you an example. If you had a $20,000 loan for 60 months, that would be $333 a month. That same loan for 48 months would be $416. That same loan for 36 months would be $555. So because that payment is condensed, the note will go up. So it's important to understand when you are financing that you take advantage of trying to get the longer term as possible, because it's ultimately going to give you the lowest payment. So now if you are listening and you would like to have a question answered, all you got to do is press the number 1 on your phone, and it will let me know that you have a question, and I'll get to you, and we'll try to see if we can answer your question. But also, when you're financing a car, you need to understand this, and this is real important. This is where dealerships, this is something that I really can't talk about on the radio, but this is where dealerships sometimes get you. They always want to add the extended warranty. Now, an extended warranty serves a purpose. It will help you, but you have got to read the fine print on what the extended warranty covers, and you got to make sure that you understand what type of warranty you already have with the vehicle. So what I mean by that, obviously brand-new cars come with the factory warranty, but some cars that have low miles, you can pick up the balance of the factory warranty. But in other instances, these banks don't. We got another caller. Welcome, 716. If you are in a situation that you have to get an extended warranty, it is important for you to understand that it is going to be an additional $20, $30, $40 a month on your car payment. And so you need to understand that if you get an extended warranty, that your car payments are going to go up, and you may not want to. We want to welcome the 758 caller that just called in. We want to be able to not get caught up with these extended warranties. These extended warranties do cost money, and typically they go anywhere from $800 to $1,200. I've even seen them as high as $1,500. And when you add that on top of your payments, your car payment's going to go up. So you need to understand, do you really need an extended warranty? Maybe you do, and maybe you don't. But listen, if you're tuned in, you're listening to the Car Man Show, the auto industry's number one automotive radio talk show. If you would like to have your question answered, you can press the number one on your phone, and it will alert me that you have a question. Other than that, I'll continue and give you some more valuable information that you can use. Now, here's the key thing. This is what people don't understand, and I think we've got a question from our 2716 number. Let me see if we can connect her. Hello, you're on the Car Man Show.
Hello?
Yeah, how you doing? What's your name?
My name's Sharon.
Sharon, how you doing? Where you calling from?
Las Vegas.
Okay, what's your question, Sharon?
I have a question. I purchased a car about 3 months ago. It was a 2015, and I don't like the car at all. And the reason why I don't like the car is because of the electric power steering makes an annoying noise. And they're telling me it's normal. And I just want to get out of this car.
What kind of car is it?
2015 Altima, Nissan Altima.
Okay, now, when you say it makes a winding noise, what is that?
It's an electric.
Is it when you're driving or when you turn the steering wheel? What is it?
Okay, when I start up the car in the morning, you can hear it. When I'm driving, you can hear it. When you turn the steering wheel, you can hear it. And
so you can hear it all the time.
Right, and they saying that it's normal. Well, I think mine is just louder than some others that I've heard.
Right. Now, you took it to the service department?
Yes, and they're telling me that it's normal.
Right. You know what I would do in that scenario is I would actually call Nissan National Customer Service. So I would call their you know, all these manufacturers have national numbers that you can call. And what will happen is that they will you let them know what's going on. If there's been a rash of complaints about that, that may be something that may be on a recall. That may be something that is unique to just your car. You know, they may or may not even know about it. So that's what I would do.
I did all of that.
And you still having a problem. Go ahead. I'm sorry. What did you say?
I said I did all of that. I went through Nissan. I filed a complaint. They had me go to back to the dealership, and they said some good service tech guy is going to look at the car, but they're just trying to still tell me it's normal. And when I read online, it was several people made complaints all over the world, all over the United States, everywhere. People was making complaints.
Well, you know what? Right, this is what I was going to say. Right now, it's not going to be financially, it's going to be harder for you to get out of the car because you just bought it. So that's not going to be anything that you're going to be able to do. What you can do is keep pressing the issue with the manufacturer. I had a friend of mine that had a Cadillac that had a similar issue. And after her complaining, they finally were able to get her another vehicle because the dealership is not going to be able to do anything. Technically, whoever your finance company is, they own the car. The dealership has already been paid on the car, and they're not even connected. So it's between you and the bank and the manufacturer. The good thing about it, it's a brand new car, so that's going to work to your benefit. So that's what I would do. There's no way you're going to be able to trade that car this soon, so I would continue complaining to the bank, and then I'm pretty sure that after a certain period of time, they would, you know, something can happen. Or maybe you take it. This is another thing that just popped in my head. Instead of taking it to where you've been taking it, take it to another dealership and then see what they say. Take it to another Nissan dealership, maybe on the other side of Las Vegas where you're going, or maybe to a much bigger dealer or a much smaller dealer that maybe the mechanic is different and they could see something. And then because you still have the full factory warranty. So as long as you have the full factory warranty, you're in good shape. Okay?
Okay.
All right, I'm going to put you back on hold. We can finish the show. Hey, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Car Man Show. They call me the Car Man for one and only reason. That's because I help people just like you make better car buying decisions. If you have a question, all you got to do is press the number one on your phone, and I will definitely answer your question and see what we can do to help make you a smarter consumer. Now, when it comes to financing and building your credit and dealing with these dealerships, there's certain things that they don't tell you, and that's what I want to get into right now. There's certain things that they don't tell you. First of all, have you ever heard this? You finance a car, and they say, hey, listen, you know, your interest rate is high, and they'll say, you can just keep this car for 6 months, and you can trade it in 6 months. That is not possible. That is not possible. And the reason it's not possible is because when you buy a car, just like I was talking to the young lady that just bought the car, you buy a car, you just can't buy a car. It's not like buying a pair of shoes. You can buy it and then turn around and get another car a month later. You know, there's finance charges, taxes, license. There's a lot of extra things that have been added to the car. So what the dealership is telling you, and they will never admit this, but what they're telling you is they're saying keep the car for 6 months, because after 6 months, a few things will happen. One is the dealership, the salesperson may not even be at that dealership, so he won't even have to worry about it. The next thing is that if when you come back, they're going to all tell you the same thing. Oh, you know what? We can help you, but you're going to need $3,000 to $4,000 or $5,000 down. So they're going to tell you that, and you say, well, why didn't you tell me that in the beginning? You say, well, you know, your car, we didn't know what your car was going to be worth, and this is what your car is worth. So ultimately what happens is they're not being upfront with you and telling you the situation, how it should be. What they're doing is they're just kind of telling you something just so that you feel comfortable in taking that high interest rate. And so the situation is that that's not always true. So don't ever believe when a dealership tells you come back in 6 months and you can trade it. That is not true. Cannot happen 99.9% of the time. Here's another thing that dealerships don't tell you. The bank wants you to come up with more money. Not necessarily true. The reason why that the dealerships will tell you the bank wants you to come up with more money is because when a bank approves a loan, they approve a dollar amount, which is typically a payment amount. So they'll say, okay, Ms. Jones is approved for a $400 payment. Well, and these are the terms. Well, the dealership doesn't have a car that fits that parameter, that formula. So the only car or cars they have would require you to come up with money. So what they need to tell you is the bank will only approve you for a certain amount of money. The only cars that we have on our lot, you would need to come up with $1,500. They don't want to tell you that, because if they tell you that, then what happens is if you're smart, you're going to say, well, I'm going to another dealer, and they don't want to do that. So they want to keep you there, and I'm here to tell you that when they say the bank wants you to come up with more money, it's not the bank, it's them. And so you need to understand that. Here's another thing, and this is, I almost want to say, a buyer beware. When you go to what we call in the auto industry these B lots, that's these buy here, pay here type lots, these places serve a purpose. These are car lots that for the people, for the bottom of credit, and the people that really can't, you've had three, four repos, you've got just had some terrible things happen, These are the people that nobody else wants to finance. Well, I'm here to tell you that a lot of times these places have been lying to people and telling them that they will report, they report to the credit bureau. Now, most of us don't check our credit reports every day. So we don't check our credit reports every day, so you don't necessarily know. I can't tell you how many times I've had conversations with people, and they have, I've said, well, who are you financed with? And I can tell by the name of the finance company that it's a buy here, pay here. And then our first question I ask them, I said, do you know if they're reporting to the credit bureau? I get one or two answers. One is, I don't know. They say, hey, I don't know if they are. And then the other answer I get is, well, they told me, but I never looked at it. We want to welcome the 677 number. If you have any questions, you can press the number 1, and I'll answer your questions. So when these dealerships tell you that you they will report to the credit bureau after about two, after about, well, first of all, you can, if you want to really dig, you can kind of be a little bit more specific and say, hey, when I make my car payments, are my car payments going to show up on my credit bureau? And they're going to say yes. And then you say, well, which credit bureau do you subscribe to? So when you start asking those questions, they are going to get a little bit more like you know what you're talking about. And if they don't, then they're going to say, well, we don't, you know, they'll start backtracking. If they report, they're going to say, well, we report to TransUnion or whoever it is. So it's important to ask. And then what I would do is that when you make that first car payment, see if it shows up on your credit report. So you go and you make that first car payment and you go to your credit report and see if a payment is being made. Because if it's not, they lied to you. And a lot of these buy here, pay here type lots, I've been in the business for 20 years. They do not report to the credit bureau for the reason that it you know, this is the main reason why. Think about it. If you buy a car from a buy here, pay here, listen to the name of them, buy here and pay here. So when you buy a car like that and you turn around and you make your car payments, and let's say you've made 4 or 5 payments, well, at the end of the term, we want to welcome a 717 number. At the end of the term, what happens is that you've made your car payments, but what the bank is going to do if you're trying to get a new car loan, they're going to say, well, have you ever made a car payment? And you're going to say, yeah, I've been making my payments to Jim Bob's car sales. Well, Jim Bob car sales doesn't report to the credit bureau, so essentially you have no car credit. So you're going to be basically in the same scenario that you were in. So the way to get around that is to make sure that they do report, because if they don't report, guess who is the only place that's going to give you another loan? It's going to be them. So it makes sense from a business standpoint for them not to report to the credit bureau, because then they can get you back as a customer. So that's real, real important to say. Hey, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Carman Show. We got a little under 12 minutes left in this first premiere show. This was the show we wanted to do, and we've had a pretty good response. And we definitely want to welcome and say, hey, if you're online, just stay online for the next 10 minutes. You're going to get some valuable information. Now, how about trading in cars? This is one of the biggest areas that consumers get taken advantage of, or have not that much knowledge of. When you're trading in a car, you got to understand how the values are determined. When you're trading in a car, typically what a dealership will try to do is to not really give you a value of your car. If you ever notice, you go in and you know, you say you want to trade in a car. Well, they want to tie in the trade-in and the cost of the car and all of that, so that the numbers kind of get all mixed together and you as a car consumer don't understand. And so what happens is they don't have to tell you what the real value of your car is. When I ask people what do they think their car is worth, the first thing they always say is blue book value. Well, I'm here to tell you that the blue book value is what insurance companies use when they are determining the value of a value. Dealerships use what the car sold for at the auction. So a lot of cars, and I used to have a dealer's license and used to go to the auction, a lot of cars that you think are $2,000 to $3,000 cars, at the auction those are $700 cars, $600 cars. So, but the dealership may not want to tell you that your car that you think is worth $3,000 is worth $700. So what they're going to tell you is they're going to try to mix those numbers up, or they're going to tell you a little bit more, because if you're buying a used car, they can tell you that your car is worth more because there's no set cost on a used car. New cars, they have to kind of be a little bit more close to the vest. So the way you can really find out what the value of your car is when you're going to buy a car, you negotiate the price, you get everything, and you say, hey, I want to trade in my car. Can you tell me what my car is worth? Well, guess what? Now you're going to see them fumble, because now they're going to have to really tell you what your car is really worth. Now, I'm here to tell you that you might not like what it's worth, but they are going to tell you what your car is really worth. I would lay you eyes that most people out here, cars are worth half of what they, let me back up, not even half. If you have a car that you owe about $5,000 on, it's probably worth $2,000 or less. If you have a car that you owe $10,000 on, it's probably worth anywhere from at maximum probably $5,000. If you have a car that, you know, and these are a lot of the people out here that have brand new cars. Let's say you bought a brand new car that was $25,000. Well, once you drive it off the lot, if you were to look to see how much that car is worth less than 6 months, it's probably going to be worth anywhere from $15,000 to $17,000. That means that car that costs $25,000 is going to lose $8,000. Is going to lose $8,000 in a short period of time. So when they talk about, I tell people this all the time, one of my famous sayings, cars don't gain value, they lose value. So when you buy a car, you always got to be conscious of the value. You always got to be conscious of the miles. You always got to be conscious of some people out here don't even realize, and this happened several years ago, but every first of the year, they get rid of cars. So certain cars are not even being made anymore, and people out here buying them and driving them don't even realize. For instance, the Pontiac. They don't make any Pontiacs anymore. No Pontiacs, Grand Ams, Grand Prix, no G6s. They don't make those cars anymore. You see them as used cars, but they don't make them. Oldsmobiles. If you notice, Oldsmobiles, they don't make those cars anymore. Saturns. A lot of people like to drive these Saturns, Auras, and you know, all these Saturn vehicles, but guess what? They don't make those anymore. You know, the Pacificas, you know, they don't make the Pacifica anymore. Actually, I was at the auto show a couple weeks ago, and they're actually getting ready to come out with a new Pacifica, but the old Pacifica, they don't make anymore. You know, PT Cruisers, a car that came and was a great car, they don't make anymore. So when you're driving a car that is not even being made anymore, think about the value. If you don't know the value, the bank knows it. So the bank is not going to loan money, a lot of money on a car they know has no value. It is so, so important. Now, here's the last thing that dealerships tell you that is not necessarily true. When you buy a car, they say, hey, you can keep this car for a short period of time. You can refinance after a few months. Now, that is not true. You cannot refinance. If you had bad credit and you were able to get a loan, and let's say the interest rate was 22% and the payment is $400, and the salesman say, hey, you can refinance after 6 months. 6 months is only going to show up 5 to 6 months of car payments on your credit history. If your credit was bad that you had to go through a secondary company, there's very little chance that a bank that has that has certain higher standards is going to give you a chance and pay off the loan that you have, take you on as a customer, and take the risk that you're going to make payments to them. That's just not realistic. But dealerships tell people. I've had so many people tell me that salesmen have told them all these things to be able to get the people to leave, and then down the road, some, I've had people go back to the dealership, the salesman act like they don't even know him. You know, the guy, you know, the guy treated me like he didn't know me, but, you know, that's what happens. So one of the reasons that I started doing shows like I do here is because I wanted to educate people about being smart consumers. I am so tired of seeing people being taken advantage of. You know, I want people to be knowledgeable about how to buy cars. One thing I always say, think about this. If I have any homeowners online, if you bought a home, when you bought a home, when you went to the closing, you had closing people, you had your attorney, you had the seller's attorney, you had the closing people, you had the loan officer. You got all these different people, the title company, you got all these different people that go into the process of you buying a car. That is the biggest purchase that any of us will ever make. The second biggest purchase is a car. So when you buy a car, typically what you do is you go in by yourself. You know, I've seen young people, 18, 19, 20, you know, let's say under 25, they've never bought anything. They go into a dealership and they believe everything the salesman. She's never really bought a car. She was married and now she's divorced and now she has to do it on her own. She doesn't know. Why have the older person, the senior citizen that goes in and is intimidated by all the fast talking? Or I just have the person that's just not knowledgeable. And you go in and you believe a salesperson. Salespeople are not on salary. They don't get $50,000 a year in salary. They get their money. How they eat is commissions, how much money they can make in selling you a car, how much profit they can make. So ultimately what they're trying to do is sell the car for the most money, get the highest finance rate they possibly can, and do that. And then what will happen, is that they can get a $500 check or a $700 check on the expenses of you. What made the last dealership that I worked at, I worked as a salesperson, I had a sales manager tell me that he was trying to have me overcharge this guy $10,000. Because we could. His credit was good, and we could. And I felt bad because this was an older man. It could have been my grandfather or my father, and this was a sales manager that was just caring about the bottom line. And I understand business is business, but I just don't believe in price gouging people. And when you are buying a car, you have got to understand the game. And I say the game because that's what it is. Whatever type of game you play, whether you play cards, whether you go to the casinos, whether you play board games, there are rules to every game, and just like the game of life, you have got to understand how that works. And if you don't understand how that works when it comes to buying a car, guess who is going to be the person that is going to pay the price? You are. So it's important for you to understand this. Charge people for the information. I know a lot of you are saying, wow, this is some good information. I don't charge people for the information because I believe it will come back to me. God has blessed me with this opportunity to do what I do, and I've educated people all around the world. I've educated people all around the world. So I just want to make sure that each and every one of you take advantage of what we're saying. I want to say thank you for listening to this first ever Carman podcast. You can listen to me tomorrow. I'll be on. You can utilize that same number. I'll be on at 9 o'clock. I'll be on at 9 o'clock Central Time. So wherever you're listening to me from, 9 o'clock Central Time, you can utilize that same number. You can always call my toll-free number. My toll-free number is 877-0815. You can, you know, follow me in a lot of different areas. Just look for the Carman Show. We're going to start doing this. I want to get to where I'm doing one show a day so that people have a place to go. You have a place to go when you're trying to buy a car, and that's so important. So time is kind of winding down. I definitely want to thank the people that have called in and listened to the show, and I hope you were able to get some valuable information. You can reach me after the show at 877-870-4815, and just thank you for listening to the show. Be a smarter consumer. And I always like to end each show by saying, you can with CarMan. God bless.